Hello there, listeners. As always, you're listening to Blind Date, the show where I bring you creative individuals from Louisville, its sister cities, and beyond. My guest today is Andy Cousins. Andy is a professor at the Kentucky College of Art and Design, as well as a well-established multimedia artist with a focus on sculptures and installations, specifically metalwork and things of that nature. A lot of his art focuses on our perceptions of time and trying to toy with that, just try to slow us down a little bit. Andy is also highly involved in the community. Right now he's doing a project with the Louisville Ballet, the Smoketown Neighborhood, along with a few other little things, but I'll let him explain that in greater detail in the interview. Thanks, guys. Your general artist statement, it's pretty obvious that you are really interested in the passing of time, or at least our perceptions of time. Can you maybe talk how you got interested in that subject?
Sure. It kind of goes back and forth a little bit. Initially, when I started to create artwork, I became kind of bored with making objects that just kind of sat there. Mm-hmm. You know, once I made it, I was done with it. I just assumed throw it away, give it away, recycle the materials. But some of them I would keep around simply to watch them rust or to watch the sun melt them. Or, you know, I really got excited about how they changed, even though they weren't necessarily supposed to. Also, in the process of getting it there, a lot of times, you know, I'll stop in the middle because I'm having so much fun. I'll really enjoy it in the stages of coming to, as opposed to the finished product. I kind of get bored with it once it's finished. So I didn't document anything in my when I first started, just because I didn't really care about it. And then, you know, I didn't really know that I was interested in time until I was doing that. I was doing some artwork with melting, rusting, and everything had a process, but I didn't really know it was about time. I was sort of just assuming that that was there, but I didn't give it credit or acknowledge it as much. And then I remember thinking back to when I was younger. I remember constantly telling my mother that I hate time. It drove me crazy, which is really bizarre because it's kind of funny. And I did tons of drawings and tons of weird things all dealing with time just because I really hated it. I thought it was the worst thing ever, basically because I was always really busy. You know, we were always either going to school. I had an older sister and a younger brother. We were always playing a sport. So it was from one practice to the other, changing in the car, trying to grab a meal on the way. And I just always feel like I was in a rush. Yeah. And I remember like just always being so frustrated with time. But again, I didn't realize that until I thought back on it years and years later. But I just kind of, it seemed a little, you know, interesting to me that it was there. Yeah. It was there when I was making artwork. And I just now, probably 6 or 7 years ago, realized what I was doing and why that mattered.
Yeah, you said something that was actually really interesting. How, like, when you got to the end product, you were bored but with the piece at that point. Is that why you kind of enjoy, like, these pieces you have that are kind of ongoing? Like, they just kind of cycle. There's, like, no end point. Like, I know there's, like, this one that literally is, like, a loop, a chained loop, like a rusted chain that kind of continuously goes. Do you think that's kind of, like, a thing for you? Just, like, you want pieces that keep going?
Yeah. A lot of them keep going, or at least seem to keep going. I mean, ultimately, it would rust until it falls apart. Right, but not in our lifetime, probably. But, yeah, I think it allows me. You know, most of those works are meant to be very therapeutic. At least they are for me.
Yeah.
You know, I want people to really just enjoy the moment and relax. I did a work one time, and it was in grad school, and a lot of, you know, academic advisors and professors were talking about the ideology behind it. And I remember, you know, that it was good, but I had this woman come up to me, and, you know, she you know, she was awesome, but she smelled like cigarettes. You know, she sort of, you could tell she seemed a little uncomfortable walking around.
Yeah.
Almost like she walked into the gallery but didn't mean to.
Yeah.
And, you know, she came up to me and said, you know, I really like this. I would love this to be in the room if I ever were to get a massage. If I could ever afford a massage, I would love to have this in the room. And to me, that meant so much more to me than anything the academic said, because it was real and it was therapeutic and she got it. Without having an academic approach to it, she understood what I was trying to do, and I really cherish that, you know?
Yeah, like, I feel like sometimes we do just flower up things with language, like when it basically comes down to, this is therapeutic. Like, even saying that, this is therapeutic. Like, you know, like you said, it was kind of perfect. She put in, like, the simplest terms possible.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of times once we label something, it's gone.
Yeah.
And it's actually very similar to time almost. Once we assign a moment as being a moment, as mm-hmm. a finite chunk of time, we sort of automatically lose that illusion of eternity. You know, because without that measurement, without that labeling of time and that scheduling, ultimately there's no way for us to nail down how long, what does an hour feel like? Not how long it is, not how many minutes, how many seconds, but what does an hour feel like? And depending on what you're doing at that time and who you are, you know, that could literally be anything. And it could seem like an eternity, or it could seem like, you know, a snap of a finger. So I really liked that, you know, and its relationship to linguistics and labeling things and our need to create a structure for things and label it.
Yeah, so. It does seem like you're very much kind of trying to take people out of that, take them out of the schedule. I feel like we share affinity for that, like trying to like slow people down. Like, I feel like, because we're both becoming adults with like increasingly like a number of responsibilities, and like just because I've been really thinking about like very meditative things and like you said, getting into the moment, and that is really difficult to like pull people out of that.
Yeah,
like even if they
today.
Like can't move, if they're not moving, like their brain is still like processing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Completely agree.
What?
I said I completely agree.
Yeah.
It's tough, especially in today's world that, man, the internet, you know, when you have everything right at your fingertips, you know, we're really impatient. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes I'm sure you've experienced this. I'm sure everybody does, where, you know, the first time I actually was aware and caught myself doing it, I just shook my head and felt really disappointed in myself. But, you know, I was searching for some information on the internet, and I clicked, and it sat there, click, 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 and I got so frustrated because I couldn't get the answer to probably a very important question, a very, you know, complex
yeah.
thing in an instant, and I got really frustrated, and I realized then, I was like, man, that's not good. Something's wrong there. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the internet. I think
yeah.
we all do, but at least something to be aware of, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I had something. It does. Like, I feel like we do have like that really kind of, I hate it, it seems so cliche, but we do have really, really short attention spans, and like
mm-hmm.
Do you feel like this, like your work has been like beneficial to you in your life and helped you slow down?
Oh man, no one would agree with that, but I do.
Yeah.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
I guess the artwork that I'm making, absolutely. When I'm in my studio, for instance, I did an artwork where the research for it was literally hours upon hours upon hours sitting there watching the hot glue drip from a hot glue gun with no pressure. And it was so slow, but I loved every minute of it. I could sit there and watch this for an hour because to me it was meditative. Yes,
yeah.
I was calculating, you know, how much heat I was applying, the tempo versus the temperature and where and how, you know, how all that went. So I was doing research, but at the same time, you know, there's no other way to do it but to sit there for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
So in that way, when I'm creating the work and doing the research, which is what I, you know, that's what I get out of it as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, I think it definitely slows me down and makes me aware of, you know, when I'm trying to figure out the tempo of something, I have to try it all. So I'm just sitting there messing with these really slow, somewhat boring, you know, events or mm-hmm. happenings over and over again. So in that sense, yes. But in the other aspect, trying to do, you know, work, being an artist is nothing, there's nothing there. Okay, there is a lot of therapeutic, but there's nothing relaxing about it.
Yeah.
As far as the overall, because you have to do a lot of research, then you have to get the materials, then you have to build it, then you have to do it over and over again until you get it right. Try different materials, then you have to figure out what to do with it. Am I going to show it? How am I going to do that? How do I promote it? You know, so it's, and that's on top of actually trying to feed yourself and live like a human being.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, it is therapeutic, the making of it, when I'm actually making it, but other than that, no, it's the opposite. I feel like I never get to relax.
Yeah, I mean, especially like your work, because a lot of it consists of like motors and motion sensors, and like you said, you do tons of research. That's definitely not how I work. Did you have any like kind of like engineering or like any kind of like background like that?
Not traditional engineering background. Yeah. No, a lot of it was just, okay, I need to do this, I'm going to make this, and I'll have to research and figure that out. And the first were a mess, right? Yeah. If you were to look at a lot of my works and I were to crack them open and see how I did it, sometimes I show people and they laugh. For instance, it took me a long time to figure out where to actually buy a gear motor.
Yeah.
And before that, I was going and trying to find, because again, I didn't know any better. I didn't have that training or just background. So I had to go to a lot of different stores, a lot of auctions, trying to find a spit for like a rotisserie pig roast, simply because I knew that that thing turned really slowly. Yeah. So I was like, I need whatever makes. So then I would have to find that object and retrofit all this other weird stuff to actually make it work, which in hindsight is ridiculous. You know, so I did a whole lot of extra work trying to figure this stuff out. But to me, it was all part of learning, and all the mistakes that I made, you know, probably came into play at some point, but I'm trying to get better just to save myself time and money, because I don't have time to figure out a lot of things like that. Or I'll go to a toy store. I love going to a toy store. I kind of feel like a creeper sometimes, because I'm just wandering through a toy store and I'm looking at toys that were meant for, you know, a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
But to me, those motors in there, and I'm looking at the motion, not what they are, but it's a motion, because you get a lot of weird mechanisms that have no other purpose but to make a bumblebee run, drop, and spin on its back or something. Yeah. It's like, I don't know what makes it, I don't care about the bee, but whatever is making that mechanism work, I want that. So, you know, in the same, so no, I don't have any technical training, but I learn, you know, I'm getting there.
From like an observer standpoint, like, oh man, that took a lot of thought. He must know, like, I don't know how to like make like gears and engines and I don't know. You know, you kind of look at it, you're like, oh, okay, wow. I wouldn't have thought of that, because I probably have limited myself to being like, I can't do that. But yeah, that makes sense too. Yeah, toys are crazy, like the stuff that they can do. And like, I don't know, like just the thought that goes into that. Like, I understand, like, to some extent, it's a piece of art in itself, but like all the research and things.
Yeah, and it doesn't really have a function. That's what I love about it. You know, so often I have to go into Home Depot or Lowe's and I'm looking for something, but I don't know what. So I'm perusing every aisle. It's like, okay, I need something that's this size, this shape, and that can do this. And I'll come up with a couple ideas, but of course the first question I get is, well, what are you using it for? And I'm just like, oh no, not that question.
How does that go?
It doesn't. Sometimes I'll try to explain it. Every now and then I'll sort of, people will get that I'm kind of a weirdo, or that I don't do things that are normal. So I'll try to go to the same people every now and then. So, you know, for instance, there's a guy at, it's a hydroponic store on Taylor Park or Taylorsville Road. And for some reason I went there and I was looking for some sort of tubes to do some water project. And he was like, well, what are you using it for? What are you growing? And I'm like, well, okay, hell with it. I'm not growing anything. I'm trying to do this, 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 and this, and this. And he was like, okay, sorry. Let me process this for me. And I keep going back now. So sometimes, even so, now when I go in there, they're expecting it. They're like, all right, what are you making? Explain it to us. And they actually love it. So it's great. You know, once I can get past the, you know, hey, I'm not here to actually do what, you know, these things are made for.
I think that's a problem with artists in general. Like, if you're filming something, like being in a random place and like, what are you guys doing? Like, you know, I feel like, and that's so difficult because a lot of artists kind of are socially awkward, like, you know, not to throw around that word.
No, you're right.
But it's just like to have to, it's almost like we force ourselves into these like really strange situations and just make it worse for ourselves. Like, oh, hey, I got to build this really crazy thing. Like, I don't really know what I'm talking about and I don't like talking to people, but kind of thing.
And coming up with explanations.
Yeah, like
it's like, why are you carrying, you know, 40 half gallons of baby oil? It's like, yeah. Well,
yeah.
I don't know.
Going back to some specifics in your work, you did mention earlier that you kind of had this like love affair with rust. Was that like, did that come naturally, or did you like decide? Was that like a executive decision on your part?
A little bit of both. You know, I was always attracted to it because it would be, especially when it wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, like if you go downtown to Louisville to the courthouse, I remember walking up there and you can see it's a slab of concrete with these brass or bronze, you know, little, you know, architecture elements sticking out of it. And you can see over however many years how the rain has come down and caused these really cool marks.
Yeah.
So I've just, you know, I've always just been kind of attracted to it. Plus the different shades of oranges and browns are great. So I've always kind of liked it, especially like if you find an old piece of machinery that was used to be painted, but then you have this bright orange just come screaming out from behind it. It's really just aesthetically beautiful to me. But, you know, as I developed, you know, as my understanding of, yes, I am talking about time. This is what I care about. Got into time theory, a bunch of different ideologies, you know, a lot of things that have been written with that. But I keep going back to how it affects our physical bodies and aging. It's always been kind of an issue for me, you know. And how, if it's so subjective, how can you mess with this? And a lot of society, I keep going back to the Industrial Revolution, because that's when things started to be structured much more. You know, 9-to-5 work days, and this is when you sleep. This is when you eat. This is when, you know, everything became structured.
Yeah.
And with that, I kind of a lot of the work, I wanted to use industrial machinery or industrial processes or materials, you know, something that looks very industrial, to defeat the purpose of it. You know, how can I take this industrial machine or this material and make it into something more therapeutic or something that allows you to wander and sort of, again, heal the issues that came with the Industrial Revolution.
Okay.
So that's, and with that, rust, you know, I look at rust as a perfect metaphor for what I'm discussing. You know, we added this structure, this man-made structure, to the natural world, and to me that causes a lot of issues with our physical aging and our bodies, our mental health, emotional situations. And rust is nature slowly, you know, bringing that back. It's sort of just like a great metaphor for how our body and our emotions are degrading because of this industrial machine that we're living in. So it was interesting how the aesthetic kind of matched up perfectly with what I was wanting to do anyway.
No, that's perfect. I didn't even put that together. That totally makes sense. So do you feel like you're someone who's pretty, what's the way to put it? Are you environmentally conscious? Like, are you like totally against progress? Maybe that's like a really harsh way to say that, but like, do you have like qualms with progress, I guess? Like, because I know like I go back and forth personally. Like, I kind of love and hate progress. And I was having a conversation with like Sarah Pitt and all those people about like once the Industrial Revolution came and progress started happening, how that like that was a kickoff point. And, like, every step of progress kind of puts someone out in a sense. And also, like, kind of does terrible things to, like, the environment.
Right.
Yeah, where do you think you stand on that? Like, how? Where's that balance?
You're right. Like, that is a very, very involved question.
Yeah, I know.
But, nevertheless, yeah. I want to say that I am, that's a big driving force. But, you know, I know that that's extremely hypocritical of me to say that because I mean, at the end of the day, I drive a car.
Yeah.
I participate in it.
Yeah.
And so I would love to say that was that's where my efforts were and that's where I was mentally. But again, I can't as much as I wish I could. But nevertheless, yeah, I feel like, as far as progress, yeah, the industrial, revolution industry, yeah, it had to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like you don't know where the edge is until you, walk off the, fall off. I think it was at a, what's his name quote? Hunter S. Thompson, I think. The only people who know where the edge is are the people that walked off. Nevertheless. Yeah. I feel like you have to push it until you can recoil and learn from it, right? I just think that now we're at the time that, yeah, we should be doing that. It's like, okay, we've pushed industries very far. To the point where it, these big old industrial factories are kind of obsolete. That's why you have the Rust Belt,
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful. I love seeing it. But, to me, that's a pretty good symbol for where we need to go next. Let that rust, but learn from it and move on, So to me, progression right now is really good. Because we're starting to make granted, not as good as they could or should be, but we're at least forming new ways to do the things that we've been doing, but with less emissions and more efficiency.
Yeah.
I
mean, you can't go from like, picture perfect, like in the beginning. You have to start out somewhere and fail.
Yeah. And so so it's not that I'm against progression. I'm just sort of, I don't know. Sometimes I get kind of frustrated with the way we evolve, how slow, it's like, okay, if everybody can agree, we need to work on the environment. Why is it taking so long? And I know it takes a lot of, I know there's much more involved than that. It's not that simple, I love progress and, but I guess in the industrial aspect to me was a big part of it that we need to let go. And not only the physical steel, the industrial material part of it in the physical world, also the mental and emotional. Like I think we need to move away from the 8-hour work day, the structure that we live in, I don't think we should necessarily have to drive into an office every day because we can work remotely.
Yeah.
So, I think that it's about time that we sort of step back and take a look at where we actually are and rethink how we do that, and how we can manage our time better. A big, mass production, sort of a big goal of that was to allow more free time, more leisure.
Yeah.
However, I don't think it's went that way.
It almost feels like it's done the opposite.
Exactly.
And there was something I was kind of thinking about, all your work and all this is really focused on time and the concepts behind that. Like, I almost wonder, because I asked you earlier if you found it therapeutic, I almost wonder if it's like the opposite, kind of like the elephant in the room, because you are constantly thinking about time, if maybe it's actually hurting you in some sense.
Oh, probably.
I don't know.
I'm stressed out pretty much most of the time.
Yeah.
But I do it to myself, so it's kind of all right. But I'm getting better. I'm starting to be aware and, okay, this long list of stuff, I need to start, crossing it off and leaving it off.
Yeah, I feel like, we did free ourselves up more, with the conveniences of life, but then we kind of filled it with even more work. So, I don't know. I think our priorities might be wrong. So, you have a lot of projects going on. we were kind of talking earlier, anything like, what's your next big thing you're doing?
Well, right now, I would say there's three major projects that I got going on. Well, those are in different degrees. I have an installation that I'm working on at the 849 Gallery as part of the new faculty exhibition. I was just hired full-time at KiCad.
Cool.
Along with seven other people. So it's the new faculty exhibition, and there's a actually, it's exactly what we're talking about. It's I'm doing an installation that's purely based on Rust.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm creating a space that's sort of, again, uses the materiality of Rust, and what that means, but also taking advantage of I grew up Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and even though I don't consider myself religious on any level right now, I do miss the act of going to church and taking that hour just to sit and contemplate. When I was in Europe, I loved to go in the cathedrals. I got just as excited about those as I did any museum, just to sit there and relax. It's almost like the environment was meant for it. And one thing I always kind of liked in church is, of course, when I was a kid, I would just go hide there. But there's all these little nooks, right, all throughout the
South. There are a lot of nooks.
A lot of little nooks. And a lot of them are devoted to specific saints. And they're called, like, the Chapel of St. Jerome, the Chapel of Mother Mary, whatever it is. But I like that idea of that little nook that you sort of go in and just be alone, you know? And I really like that idea. So I'm actually creating a chapel-esque installation, but, of course, it's all rusted out.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm working on now. That's kind of fun. I'm also working with two other artists, Ezra Kellerman and Tiffany Carboneau, to do some artwork for a ballet coming up that's based off of an old play called The Human Voice. It's mm-hmm. a monologue. It should be pretty interesting, so it's new territory. I've never done anything like that, but it's really, really cool to work with different artists and different media and come together and do a collaborative event. So it's a lot of fun. It's cool. I would say the biggest project I have going on right now is it's an association with Project Heal.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is it's there's a lot of people involved. I guess one that's familiar around here is Ideas X Lab.
Yeah.
And it's sort of an artistic-led effort to benefit the health outcomes of members of the Smoketown community.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really, really into that right now. So Smoketown is an area of Louisville, as you know, and it's had a lot of hardships. And the life expectancy rate is 10 years less than anywhere else in Louisville. It's actually the same as it is in Iraq. But it's also, a block or two away from the largest concentration of healthcare facilities in the region, right? And so we're trying to, so it's a journey to try to figure out what were the issues here? Why is this happening? Why is, how can we fix this almost? Not to say we're going to come in and fix everything. That's impossible, and that's not even a good perspective to have. However, I really love the idea that as artists, we are being assigned this to use our creative problem-solving backgrounds to address these issues in a very unorthodox way. But the great thing about it is, for one, we're actually helping people, which is great, but I love the process that we're going through. We're learning how to actually document research. Mm-hmm. We're working with University of Louisville with that to actually come up with quantitative and qualitative data to suggest that this, in fact, does create positive health outcomes. And I'm really interested in that because so much of my work deals with anxiety, relaxation, so I feel like I love this project because the people of Smoketown are just really great. Everyone I've met there has been awesome. But even beyond that, I love the idea of actually being able to conduct legitimate research to do that. I'm learning a whole lot. So I'm really into that right now. It's a lot of fun.
So how long have you been involved with that project?
It started in July with a 1 month residency up in New York.
Okay.
In which case we were with Residency Unlimited, and we did a lot of tours, meetings, discussions, and it was a very well curated residencies with a lot of not-for-profit organizations that are doing social work, mm-hmm. because, you know, with a place that has a ton of people comes a lot of efforts to address certain issues. So we learned a whole lot there. And then since we've been back, we're still in the discovery period. It's the first year it's being done. And there's really not a structure for this type of work, which is also exciting. We're kind of the guinea pigs because this hasn't really been done. So we're all learning a whole lot. And so we're just sort of laying the groundwork or helping it to start a conversation that will keep going and keep going and keep going. We're just kind of doing our part. And it's a one-year commitment project. Granted, I don't plan on stopping after a year, but we'll see how that goes.
That's so awesome. I did not know that was going on.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I'm really impressed with the people involved and even just taking on a project like this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, there's so much that has to go into it, like going into the communities, talking with everyone, getting their feedback. Like you said, tons of research and, like, the residency. I'm sure that was, like, lots of information. Cool. You have to keep me updated on that.
Oh, I will. It's pretty interesting. Even trying to figure out how to do that, you know, it's a predominantly African American community. It's one of the oldest ones. It's been around since the Civil War, and you know, even trying to figure out how me, you know, a white male can even try to get gain trust and to do that. So that in itself is a big discovery process.
So, I'm assuming they know that you guys are a bunch of artists and, like, coming and talking with them?
Certain people are aware. You know, we have partnering organizations that we're working with, simply so that if we were to start something, mm-hmm. it's not just, oh, I did this and it's over.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to work with local organizations to keep it going, you know. So it's, so you really start to get to know an area pretty well when you're working with the organizations and then also trying to meet people literally on the street.
Yeah. And, you know, stop me if I'm, like, jumping way ahead, but are you guys considering, like, getting feedback from the community members as far as, like, the pieces and, like, what work you're going to make?
Oh yeah. So for instance, like, right now I haven't even started my quote project.
You know?
I'm doing a project, but it's purely to meet people and to gain understanding as to what they want, mm-hmm. what issues that they see, happening, and what they think would help this, or what would, you know. So it's a lot of just gaining information. The discovery part of this project is huge, and it's going to be ongoing because it doesn't really do any good to, you know, shoot without aiming a whole lot, you know.
Yeah.
And being that they're building a structure, the goal is to build a structure that can then be used and replicated anywhere. You know, you really need to get it right the first time. And a lot of deadlines are being pushed back, not because of laziness or withdrawal, just purely this is a long process, you know. I'm shocked that, I'm kind of nervous. I mean, even having 1 year to actually go into a community and even get to know anything about the community, you know. It's tough and it's a long process, but it's exciting. You know, it's sort of, I love that artwork is beginning to, in our day and age, have a very direct impact on the way we live. I love that. You know, who would have thought that artists would be working with healthcare professionals to address healthcare issues? And, you know, who would have thought that?
But, yeah, I feel like there's a bigger trend of that happening. Like, I know that Brian Eno has done, like, installations in hospitals, and, like, there's, like, a new initiative with musicians doing similar things. And, you know, like I said earlier, I'm kind of, like, in that mindset. You know, I'm also someone who deals with a lot of anxiety, and, like, my kind of, like, internal search and research, like trying to figure out how to alleviate that, like what's going on, like has kind of led me in that way, And, you know, I know tons of other people who deal with much higher levels of anxiety than I do, and I just, like, feel like there's a need. You know, you were talking about, like different neighborhoods, and, like, I've been having a lot of conversations lately with artists and different galleries and spaces about the accessibility of art, and that's, like, something, like, I feel like this is, like, a good idea in that direction, like, making things more accessible for, like, more people.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think so. I think anytime, you know, if you're not an artist, if you weren't raised around art, if you don't have that appreciation, mm-hmm. you know, you sort of look to it as, you know, what role does it play, right?
Yeah.
And so, for instance, let's say you start to create an artwork that, helps people with. Let's say Alzheimer's.
Okay.
Let's say, as an artist, you come up with, sorry for that long pause.
Oh, that's okay.
but, you know, let's say you, as an artist, you develop a way to help, alleviate some of the pain and some of the issues that stem from Alzheimer's. All of a sudden, anyone with Alzheimer's, anyone that has a loved one that has Alzheimer's, anyone who is interested in medicine, all of a sudden, all of those people are seeing value in artwork, not just the artwork that you're doing specifically, but artwork in general.
Yeah.
And to me, that's awesome. Yeah. You know, if you can turn an entire group of people, or a group of people that have a certain interest, into people who appreciate art and see a value, I mean, that's huge in my opinion. You know,
yeah.
I just think that's so great.
Yeah. I think it's easy for a lot of people to find art to be kind of, like, frivolous, because more often than not, like we've said, it doesn't usually have a function,
mm-hmm.
but, like, if you can be, like, that ambassador there and be like, well, actually this can do great things for you. Like, we have creative solutions. I mean, that's all being an artist is about, is just being creative. And, you know, sometimes it's for problem solving.
Yeah, it's a good skill set to have. I'm trying to. That's kind of a discussion at KiCad.
Yeah.
Is, you know, we're not only preparing them to create artwork.
Yeah.
For a gallery the rest of their lives, but we're also it's the skills of problem solving, and creative problem solving, seeing possibilities that weren't there before, you know, and that's something that I think people are becoming more and more aware of and starting to utilize. You know, how can we get that? I've heard it called creative disruption.
Mm-hmm.
How can we get that, or how can that be used by any field? And I think that's a really interesting idea and an interesting future for artists. You know, I know Ideas has been talking about that a whole lot, and I just think it's really great.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Andy. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. This was great.
To learn more about Andy, visit andrewcousins.com. That's Andrew, CoZzens.com. You can also find links on my blog, blinddateart.wordpress.com, as well as videos and links and images and all that good stuff of all of Andy's work, as well as all the wonderful artists listed on there. I started today with a Rachel's track called Systems Layers. I'm going to end with a Blackout Beach track called Be Forewarned, The Night Has Come. From the awkward to the profound, this has been Blind Date. Catch you guys next time. My rights.
For all the endings.